to share with you about the work of Christians Against Poverty. And as Christians Against Poverty is such a mouthful, I'm going to say CAP. But our founder actually thinks it's so important that we always say Christians Against Poverty, because that is who we are. So welcome to hearing about what God has been doing in this country through the work of CAP. Just a little bit of introduction about myself, so you know, speaking to you. I've had the honour of working for Christians Against Poverty, CAP, for the last 9 years. It'll be 9 years in October. And my role is I am Wye Valley and Forest of Dean Debt Centre Manager. So I don't come from that far away. And as well as being a debt centre manager, which is work I absolutely love, I also am on the CAP speaker team, so hence that's why I'm with you here this morning. And also I'm a life skills coach, and also I run CAP Money. So I've got a good overview of all the different services that CAP are doing. And it's actually not about services at all. It's seeing firsthand how God can change our nation, because that's what we're about, isn't it? Bringing God to the people who don't yet know about him. His transforming power that comes into negative situations and can change lives. So this morning, we're going to look again at the challenge of UK poverty, because I can tell you, it's real. And we're going to see how God is working through that with churches, with individuals, to set people free from the burden of poverty in the UK. So, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. Hope everybody's okay with challenge. Yeah, good. It's also hopefully going to be encouraging, and I know we're all up for encouragement, aren't we? So bear with me with this. So right now in the UK, there's estimated to be 1.5 million people living in poverty. That's a staggering statistic, isn't it? Parents, particularly mums, going without food so they can feed their children. Now, I saw the collection point for the food bank at the back. That's great. And I'll say a little bit more about that later on. But there are mums and dads in this country, people right here and now, who are going without food so their children can eat. I visited elderly people. Now, this isn't relevant really at this time of year, but imagine I'm talking in January. There's elderly people who've not turned their heating on all week because they are terrified of the cost of their electricity and gas bill. That is the reality of the situation. There's people battling numerous health issues, both mental health and physical health. People who are being hounded by that knock on the door from the debt collector. I didn't know things like that even existed before I started working for CAP. I actually encountered a family where the curtains were closed and they were crawling around on their hands and knees so that the debt collector didn't know that they were in the house. I've mentioned the figure of 1.5 million. Let me help you visualise that a bit, because if you're like me, I can't visualise that sort of figure. If we put together everybody in your community, everybody in Tewkesbury, everybody in Cheltenham, Worcester, Gloucester, and then add Birmingham's population, that is the figure across the UK that is living in poverty this morning. Imagine not being able to afford the bare essentials that are needed for everyday life to stay warm, clean, dry, and eat. Now, those are statistics, aren't they? hopefully you've been able to visualise that a little bit more. But I'm not into statistics, I'm into people. Let me tell you about Gina. I won't tell you where she lives because obviously she's given me permission to share this story, but I first encountered Gina at the beginning of a summer holiday. Gina had got an 8-year-old boy. I'll call him David, it's not his name. When I first met Gina, David had just said, "Mum, my friends are all going swimming. Can I have some money to go to the swimming pool?" She said, "I'm ever so sorry, David, you know that we can't afford it." And what she then shared was, after David had gone out of the room, that they'd been eating bread and pickle sandwiches for breakfast, dinner and evening meal for the last 4 days, because that is all she had in the house. I was able to take her to Tesco's and do a big shop. That's one of the things that CAP allows me to do. I was then able to write some vouchers so that she could go to her local food bank and get food there. You might be thinking, why in this day and age was Gina in that situation? Well, Gina had a couple of health issues and she'd been in hospital, and it was the day that she was supposed to go and sign on. And so her benefits were stopped. She was sanctioned. Because this had happened before. She'd been in hospital overnight. She wasn't then able to go to the job centre and sign on. And so her money was stopped. Now, obviously, that affected her food, but it also affected her rent, because she wasn't receiving housing benefit because she'd not signed on. And so there was a letter there in front of her that she was being taken to court in Gloucester, and she was going to lose her property. With CAP, I'm actually able to go to court with people to take a budget that CAP produces, and we help people to stay in their homes and get them back on their feet again. Gina had contacted CAP only a few days before. There wasn't actually time to get things done. And in fact, the judge had evicted her from her property, her and her 8-year-old boy. Now, you might think that's a negative situation, but driving home from court in Gloucester, I was able to share with her about Jesus. She gave her life to Christ. We pulled into a lay-by, and she asked Jesus to become her Lord and Saviour. She was homeless. She had no money. But the befriender, who was from her local town, happened to say, "We've got space in our home." The fact that she happened to be a Church of England vicar probably explained why she'd got spare rooms, but she was able to have Gina and her son come and live with them. They were able to pray together. She was able to mentor her. And I'm happy to say that many, many sort of years on, Gina is now debt-free, happily married, and is actually giving out to other people. So having been helped herself, she was able to get herself sorted. I could share loads and loads of stories like this. I'll share just one more. Sarah was a single mum. When I went to her house, she was boiling a pan of water. Her kettle had broken down, and she was going to the bathroom with the water, this big pan of water, to give her tot, her little one, a bath. Just the thought of a huge pan of water with a toddler underfoot was really scary. The reason she couldn't afford to put on the immersion heater was because it was so costly that she knew it was a choice between food and hot water, and she chose to make sure her child and herself got food. This is the reality of poverty in the UK today. A gentleman I went to visit this winter, we didn't have a particularly cold winter, but when I went to his house, my feet were so cold, and I actually wear base layers when I go on CAP visits. I wear ski underwear under my normal clothing because I'm used to going into houses that are so cold, and my feet were frozen. So I rather selfishly took him out for a meal, because that meant that I got out of his cold house. I say selfishly because he was going to return to that cold house. I was going to my lovely warm house. It just puts things into perspective. Now you might think, how did he get into that situation? I won't tell you too much, but this was a man who was in a professional job before he retired. And change of circumstances meant that when he was in his 80s, he was living in a small flat with a prepayment meter that he couldn't afford to put money into to heat his home. That is the reality of life for some people in the UK today. I've helped over 370-odd families in the Wye Valley where I work. And each story is heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. But with Christians Against Poverty, we come to show that there is hope, there is a future, and there is a positive way forward. In a moment, David's going to show you the little film that we've got. So if that's up and ready to come, we'll watch that now, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about the work that we do.
My neighbours didn't know what situation I was in. To walk past the house, no, you wouldn't know. The only thing you'd think is, oh, that person keeps their curtains closed. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. The one thing I didn't want was to be judged. You put a front on to people. I won't have a cup of tea because I've only got a quarter of a pint of milk that's got to last me a week. You make excuses. Oh, the boiler's not working today, so I can't put the heating on, sorry. Oh, the bulbs are blown, sorry. I'd go around and take the bulbs out. My bedtime became sort of 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening because I couldn't read by the lights I had and or do my cross stitch or anything like that. Collect the post once in a blue moon. Big pile of letters, isn't it? We want this, we want this, we want this. You can't have it, there's just nothing left. You don't see an end. And as much as people tell you there's an end, there isn't. You're living, not day to day, I was living minute to minute. And the only answer I could see was, if I'm not on this earth, you can't get anything from me.
Over 1.5 million people haven't got enough food to eat, heating for their home, or even a place to call their home. Right here, right now in the UK. Poverty is in every community, often hidden behind closed doors. I know what it's like to not have enough to feed your children. I know what it's like to have to leave home. And that's why I started CAP 23 years ago. We offer award-winning debt counselling, we have job clubs, and we offer courses that help people with life skills and dependencies. Every one of our life-transforming services is run in partnership with a local church just like yours. Whenever CAP partner with local churches, lives are transformed and poverty is relieved. Every year together, tens of thousands of lives are touched by the work of CAP and the local church. But most importantly, around 1,000 people choose to respond to Jesus. On her own, Tina had absolutely no chance of resolving her debt situation. But once the local church and CAP were on the scene, things began to change dramatically.
It was a relief when Ruth came round because for once it was someone that wanted to listen to me, that wasn't getting paid to listen to me. And I sobbed. I broke my heart. She then said, right, we're going to help you here. They will sort you a budget out that gives you money that I can go shopping, where I could open the post and just put it in an envelope and send it to Ruth, or keep it for her next visit. Such a relief to be able to get up in the morning and open your blinds and your curtains and you see sunlight instead of a dark room. You know, and I remember going to church after I went there. You all right? Yep. I went debt free the other day. Yeah, and you know, and everyone was genuinely pleased that I'd done it as well. And through the coach journey, I started going to my local Baptist church, and it started restoring my faith. I got baptised, and it was like a piece of my wall that I put up came down, but also another weight got lifted with the support of my father and the support of the churches and the people around me. I can now start rebuilding my life.
Wow, how do you follow a story like that? Isn't it amazing that through all the challenges that Tina faced, she still shines with hope and dignity, and Christ has impacted her life in a huge way. Almost a third of the people that I encounter have struggled with their finances for more than 3 years. That's incredible, isn't it? Before they contact CAP. And perhaps a bigger issue is the shame that people feel. I mentioned about food banks. I've got a former head teacher who, because of mental health issues, is now in debt. They will not go to their local food bank in case they encounter anybody that they know. So, in fact, I go on their behalf and get them food from there. We can be very quick to judge, can't we? And I've just learnt through doing this job that it's only God that knows exactly what's going on in a person's life. And God is the one that has the answer. At the heart of Christians Against Poverty, there's a belief that God cares deeply for people like Tina, people like Gina I've told you about, the head teacher whose name I'm definitely not going to mention. Injustice, exclusion, and exploitation have no place at all in God's kingdom. Instead, in God's kingdom, it's a place where the poorest are prioritised and included. That's why when we read the Bible, so many of the prophets actually make a point of condemning the oppression of the poor. We're going to spend some time in a moment exploring some of those scriptures. So if you've got a Bible with you, can you take a look at Isaiah chapter 3? Verses 14 to 15. Don't worry if you've not, I'll read that scripture to you. So Isaiah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. God's word says, "The Lord enters into judgment against the elders and leaders of his people. It is you that have ruined my vineyard. The plunder from the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, declares the Lord God Almighty?" Isaiah doesn't mince his words, does he? He sees the state of his nation and he says it how he sees it. And it's not a pretty picture. Where's justice? Where's mercy? The leaders and the elders are not protecting those in their care. The system is stacked against the poorest, and they're finding their faces crushed beneath their feet, and God is not happy about that situation. Then if we continue reading on in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah then has a personal encounter with the living God. Let's take a look at a very well-known passage. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, sitting on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. What a vision Isaiah encountered. There's angels calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And then, overwhelmed by his presence, Isaiah calls out in verse 5. So these are Isaiah's words in verse 5. "Woe to me," I cried, "for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my lips and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I, that's Isaiah, said, "Here I am. Send me." Those are profound words, aren't they? "Whom shall I send?" God said. "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." I would say that those words are as relevant today as when Isaiah first uttered them. From "woe is me, I'm ruined," to "here I am, send me," all in the space of one paragraph. Isaiah thought that his encounter with the holy God would consume him, but instead, he encountered God and had his heart completely changed. And so the voice of God comes, doesn't it? And he says, "Here I am. Send me." In church, we often talk about sending people, don't we? Maybe to some distant continent to do mission work. In fact, we even probably quote this verse when we talk about it. And in fact, this Friday night I had some friends over and I found out that they know you. My friends are Alan and Pauline Jordan, and they're out in Marsabit in northern Kenya doing mission work there. And they had that call of God on their life, and they said, "Here I am. Send me." Another couple from the house group I go to have returned from doing mission work with OMF in the Philippines. God sends some of us to distant places in order to spread the gospel. But you know what? You don't actually have to go around the globe to serve our living God. Like most of us, we're called to do mission in the exact place that God has put us. Here, in your village, in your town, where you are put is no accident. God is calling you to make a difference, to go and spread the good news of Jesus wherever he has put you. We can all make a difference in the place that we live. I recently saw this quote which challenged me as well as making me laugh. It said, "Those who think they are too small or insignificant to make a difference have never been in a bedroom with a mosquito." Now, hands up if the church notices are the favourite part of your service. I haven't lost the plot, bear with me. 10 years ago, I was working as a secondary school teacher. And one Sunday, during church notices, my life was totally changed. The person giving the notices was saying that the debt centre manager from our CAP debt centre was having to step down and somebody else was needed to take on the job. And it was as though God had got hold of me, shaken me, and said, "That's you." I wasn't looking for a career change, but God had his hand on my life. Now I thought, you know what? Maybe that is what I'm supposed to be doing. But if that is the case, I need somebody else to say that to me. And 2 days later, at my house group, one of my friends said, "Elaine, have you thought of applying for that CAP centre manager role?" And I said to her, "Why have you said that to me?" And she said, "I have absolutely no idea. I just felt that that is what God wanted me to say to you." I was so glad that she'd listened to God. Sometimes we have to listen, and we have to speak, and we have to act. And those moments totally changed my life, because at that point I felt I'd been commissioned and called to go and work for Christians Against Poverty. And you know what? When God is calling you to do something, it is never, ever boring. Last week, I had the joy of being on a CAP holiday. We send our CAP clients away on little breaks. I was in Torquay. And while we were there, 22 people made first-time commitments to accept Jesus Christ as their saviour. And 4 people recommitted their lives to God. They all had an amazing time, and one lady I was talking to had said she'd not had a holiday for 24 years. Even if she'd never encountered Christ, that holiday would have been life-changing for her. When I go out on CAP visits, I do so much more than simply debt counselling. We offer to pray for our clients. We share the gospel with them. And I've had the privilege of 72 of my clients in the Wye Valley and Forest of Dean making first-time commitments to Christ as a result of encountering God through Christians Against Poverty. 3 weeks ago, I wasn't at my normal church service. I went to the baptism of 2 of my clients who'd got very, very complex needs in terms of their finances, and who, when they welcomed 2019 in at New Year, were not even Christians. God is in the business of changing and transforming lives. We sang a song earlier, didn't we, about the salt of the earth. I smiled when I saw those words on the screen. Because you know what? Salt doesn't make any difference unless it's poured out of that salt cellar and into the communities that we live in. Many of my clients would never have ever come to church if we hadn't gone out to them first and shown them God's love, God's care, God's compassion. When you look again at your community, you'll begin to see things that you won't have noticed before. You'll see people that are of infinite value to God, who God loves, who God wants to interact with, for whom God has got a plan and their purpose for their life. You know what? The heart and vision of CAP is that from Isaiah chapter 6. "Here I am. Send me. Be salt and light in your community. Partner with the local debt centre. Go out on visits. Pray for people. See lives transformed and changed." In a moment, I'm giving you an opportunity to find out more about how you can partner with CAP. We believe that the local church is the hope for our nation. But we have to go out to where the people are. They're not going to come flooding through those doors. They need to see that Jesus is relevant to how they are living, that Jesus can transform communities just like yours. As I said, on a visit, we pray with clients. We tell them the good news about Jesus. And through CAP in general, 8,000 people in the time we've been working have made first-time commitments to Christ. We do so much more than just help them with their financial situation. As I start to round up, I want to ask you to have a fresh perspective when you see closed curtains. A fresh perspective when you see the brokenness and injustice in our nation. I have got a present for you, actually. You don't often get something for nothing. On the back table there, I've got enough copies of this book for anybody that would like one. All you need to do is fill in the section on the form that's on your chair, and if you do that and give it to me at the end of the service, I've got a free book for you. So fill that in, free book, no card, no book. It's simple transaction. But I'd also like to invite those of you who feel God's calling you to do it to become what we call a life changer. For the cost of a Costa per month, there are other coffee companies available, you could give families hope of hearing the gospel and help them to deal with their debts. For a £20 donation per month, we can stop that bailiff call. We can create a budget. We can give people hope for their future. Or perhaps you'd consider becoming what we call a vision sponsor. That is somebody who gives £50 a month to CAP, and you will then get personal updates from our founder, John Kirkby, about the work of CAP. It's all very simple. All you need to do is tick the information on the sheet on your chair. So I'd love to give you the free books, and I'd also, if you've had this one before, because I know somebody's spoken before at the church, I've got another free book, so nobody needs to go away without something if they would like a book. So as you're filling in your cards, I just want to tell you about Emma. Emma lives in the Forest of Dean. When I first met Emma, she was a very angry young woman. She'd lost her job while she was on maternity leave, which isn't something that should happen, and she'd got bailiffs knocking on the door. She'd also got some very colourful language that I certainly wouldn't be repeating in anywhere, let alone a place of worship. Emma encountered Christ. She's been working with CAP, repaying her debts for the last 5 years. And next September, she's due to go to theological college because she's going to become a church leader. That is the difference that Christ has made in her life. Another guy, Alan, was homeless when I first encountered him. He was sleeping behind the back of Monmouth Baptist Church. We've now got his finances sorted out. We've got him a home. We have also managed to get furniture for the house, and he will be this Sunday in church worshipping God rather than sleeping out behind the back of the church. So many lives transformed by God. I want to thank you for listening to me this morning. I just want to finish by praying. So if we can just pray, that would be lovely. Dear Lord, we thank you for the immense privilege of being your children, and that you have entrusted us with your commission to go out into our community and to share the amazing good news that you love us and have a plan and a purpose for our lives. That you have called us to be your witnesses in the world, and to bring hope to the hopeless. Love and joy where there's despair. Help us to cherish those that you have called us to minister to. We thank you that you are a God of justice who cares for the poor and the downcast. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, so that we can be the people that you have called us to be, to reach the lost and the broken, and also those who think they've got it all sorted. Help us to share Jesus with everyone we encounter. We thank you, Lord, that your kingdom will come and that your good and perfect will be done. We praise you and we look forward with excited anticipation as we know the best is yet to come. Like Isaiah, may we be overwhelmed by the glory of your presence and offer ourselves in service to you, the living God. In your very, very precious name we pray. Amen. So thank you ever so much for listening this morning, and I look forward to be able to give you a free copy of the book and to be able to answer any questions that you might have about the work of CAP. We're going to end our service this morning by singing the song, The Splendour of the King.